You're at the Coaching Inn, 3D Coaching's virtual pub, where we enjoy conversations with people who are engaged in the world of coaching.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Coaching Inn. I'm your host for today, Robbie Swale, but don't panic, because our guest today, is somebody that you all know very well. Welcome to the show, Claire Pedrick, I think it is.
Oh, thank you very much, Robbie.
Yeah, and it's like fun. We'll get to play around. We were just laughing a little bit about me not quite remembering the things that the host of the Coaching Inn normally says. But luckily, you're here to remind me. And before we go any further, I think the very important thing to say is if you aren't already a subscriber to this show or a follower wherever you're listening, make sure to subscribe or follow. And while you're there, if for those of you who don't know me, you can also search for the Coach's Journey podcast and subscribe or follow that. We've set ourselves at the Coach's Journey some goals this year about growing the number of subscribers and followers. So even if you never listen, we'll feel good about ourselves if you go over there and subscribe or follow. But first, make sure you follow this show, because that'll be what you actually want to do. Claire, welcome to the show. We're going to have some fun turning the tables on you a little bit in this conversation. But I wonder, we got to know each other in various ways. And one of the things we've done together on The Coach's Journey, which is my podcast for coaches, is slow down really on your journey. But I wonder, you often ask people, you've asked me in my previous appearances on the show, you know, tell us all a little bit about yourself, that kind of introduction. Is there, what is there about yourself that you have rarely shared on this show because no one has been asking you that question?
That's a great question, and I'm going to bounce off a conversation that I had with somebody yesterday. I go to bed really early. And I'm saying that because I think people think if you put out a lot of content that you must be up for 18 hours a day, and I'm not. So I go to bed really early, and I take a lot of time off. And I work very hard when I'm working, but I don't work very hard when I'm not working. So that's probably something people don't know about me.
Yeah. When you said that about going to bed early, and we're talking, even as you started saying it, I started to think about when you told me about, you know, I think you said to me on one of the conversations we had that your superpower for success in a coaching business was that you have never worked in the school holidays, essentially. And more than that, actually, it was that when you first started out, you were building your business around nursery pickup times or school pickup times. And so it was really contained. And so it's really interesting. There's a very strong argument for the people who look prolific, putting out a lot of content, actually being often the people who look after their energy the most, because then that makes everything sustainable.
I'm not sure I look after my energy that well, but
I mean, if you sleep, if you sleep well, long periods, I think that's more than a lot of us do. A lot of people, and I think, you know, we push those boundaries and we have all the devices that keep us up in lots of ways. You know, we find ourselves accidentally watching another episode or losing ourselves on. I lose myself on my phone most likely in the hour before going to bed, at the time when I could most benefit from not doing it. So, I think
something else people don't know about me.
Yeah.
Which they don't know about you. Robbie Swale has just done 2,000 days of Duolingo.
It's true. I might do a social media post. I'm trying to up my social media game of get to know me in the ways that aren't to do with my work with coaches. Because I do a lot of content for coaches out there, but I don't do much of the other stuff so much, other than my blog. And I was thinking, I just crossed 2,000 days, which we talked about. Did we talk about that on the first time we ever spoke on this show? We talked about Duolingo. We did at some point, anyway.
I've now done 600 days.
Incredible.
Of Spanish.
Yeah. Muy bien, Claire. Muy bien.
Gracias. Yeah.
So, Claire, I know a little bit about this, but for listeners, what are we going to talk about in this conversation, and why is it important why did you want somebody else to be asking you the questions or creating the space on that?
Well, there are two reasons. So we're going to talk about the supervision community, and that's because my colleagues say that I'm better at talking about it and writing about it. So they said, you need to do a podcast to explain what the supervision community is for, because that's really articulate. The other reason is that my dad was in broadcasting and was my greatest supporter and my biggest critic. And about when we did the podcast about the human behind the coach, he said to me, that was your worst episode ever because you tried to interview yourself and it didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So two reasons.
Nice. Well, I think like I pulled two things out of that. So one is I found whenever I've tried to do solo episodes, like they sometimes work, but they're exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting to do. And so I kind of made a deal with myself when I did the last one, which was actually probably when I launched the Coach's Journey community, which we might touch on a little bit because a conversation we had about that in some ways inspired the Supervision community. I kind of made a deal with myself that I would never do that again, that if I ever wanted to talk about something like that, I would get somebody on to have the conversation with me. Because then it would be like an engaging, energizing thing to do instead of kind of slightly exhausting, kind of clawing my way through through a podcast episode. Not that they're bad episodes, just that my experience of them was difficult. And then just to catch the thing that your team said about it, I think that's like, we could probably extrapolate that to coaching generally, right? Like everyone who writes about coaching, it always sounds... it's always a bit dead compared to hearing about the experience and the stories of it in conversation, and obviously compared to the experience of being coached. So I think let's do that today. And the place I'd like us to start is that kind of like, I mean, we'll do what it is by saying where it came from. Like, why did it emerge? What's it for? And how did it come about?
So I've been supervising for about 12 years, and people, I don't know whether it's people have heard of me more or whether people are more hungry for supervision. I think it's probably both of those things. And there are contexts in which people have to have supervision. And the big issues that I was seeing was that one-to-one supervision wasn't often enough if somebody wasn't doing that much coaching. So they'd only have it, so they'd have it twice a year, which is fine, but that's not enough. But then if they had it more often, it was too much. And then in groups, so I host six supervision groups. Each of them has six people in them. And in those groups, I was finding that some people weren't doing enough work to have something to bring every time. So my groups meet 10 times a year because I don't work in June and I don't work in August, going back to what we said earlier. And I might stop working in December, but that's another story. Because it just seemed like a good idea when I was talking about it to a colleague yesterday. So they didn't have enough to bring, and it becomes a very expensive solution. If you're not doing much work, you want supervision because you're a great coach and you recognise the value of supervision, but you can't afford it. So either you go to peers who don't have a lot of experience and you do kind of peer supervision, which I think is great too, but nothing, none of the solutions quite felt like a useful solution. So there's something about affordability. How much can you afford? There's something about accessibility. There's something about sensibleness. Because when people start bringing the same thing to every supervision call, it becomes really annoying and not very useful. And I wouldn't like to be the person who's being coached, who the coach takes to supervision every month, because my goodness, that's going to be overdoing it. So all of those things really made me spend a lot of time wondering what a better way might be.
Yeah. Yeah. And the two things that jump out at it for me, I mean, there's so much in there. You know, one is like a thing that I noticed both with my coaching, for example, but also with supervision, is that there's a learning opportunity that's missed if the frequency is either irregular or too sporadic, which is, it's not always necessary, but it's like there are live things that if they can be approached, like obviously not exactly live if it's supervision, because it'll be after a call, but like, or just before a call, but like while it's still alive in me, then my learning opportunity is much greater. But what you have to do that is have a structure which you fit in. Because if you have to wait 6 months for your next session, or even sometimes if I have to like book in a session with somebody, wait the week or two until that comes, like what I've always noticed is like the timing of calls is often perfect for what's going on. And I didn't write down what my other thing was, so let's forget what that might be.
I've just had an insight. Which I've written down, so I'll share it later. But I've just had a really good idea based on what you just said. Thank you.
Okay. Can you share it now? Or is it, or you want to go back to the story?
Yeah, I can.
I think so.
So you said something about timeliness. So what I think I'm going to do is, we have conversations inside the community, and I'm going to have a conversation space, which we could call the coaching clinic or something, where people can share those things in text, and we can have a little bit of a chatette about them in text straight away.
Yeah, nice.
So later on, you were going to ask me what were my future plans. Well, that is my future plan now.
Yeah, it's actually another question. So that I had about what happens between all the calls. So maybe we'll come back to that in a minute. But let's do first. Where did it? So you've had this like sense that there's the ways of working. So, and let me check if this is right. So these, the six groups that you had, are they separate to the supervision community, or are they're now part of it?
At the moment, they're separate to the supervision community.
So they were what you were doing before. Is that right?
But they're coming in.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. So you had this kind of way of working.
So the billing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. So you had this way of working with six groups, and you were looking for, but it's and you did some one-to-one work, and there was increasing demand, and then there was, so what's the way that works better for all these things, including sensibleness and affordability? So
the other question that I was asking, which was sort of separate, was how do I scale myself? Because I have great colleagues who deliver stuff. And then there are some things, the kind of thought leadership stuff is something that at the moment only I can do, or I do more than others. And there are areas of work where people are really happy to have somebody else. And there are areas of work where people want me. So one question was about accessibility and affordability for people. One question was about scaling me. And I wasn't really thinking about them in the same space.
Mm.
And then you and I went for a walk.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I remember you asked about the Coach's Journey community then and how I run it. Was that, I don't remember if that was exactly because you thought it might have some of inspiration for the answer to these questions, or if it was just curiosity.
No. I was just curious.
Yeah.
And then I think you said, what if?
Yeah. Yeah, possibly. I remember we were talking about supervision as well. You had other supervision ideas on that walk that we were talking about. So like the really high level for listeners who don't know, of what I said was, essentially, I used to run a group coaching program for coaches, which was quite intense. And it was essentially me with a different set of complex questions where things didn't quite fit for me. And for me, the questions were, I ran an intense 6 month, three times a month group program. I didn't want to sell it, because the selling of a group program like that is tiring. And I was about to have a baby at exactly the time of year that we normally sell it, or sold it. And so I kind of, and there was an affordability, accessibility, intensity questions for me. It's not for everybody, a 6 month intense program. What am I doing with the people who don't have the money or don't want to invest that much right now? And to a certain extent, those are the people, some of the people you're talking about, where it doesn't make rational sense for them to invest. I can't remember what the group program was, like $2,000 probably for a 6 month program, because of the scale of their business. So what is the alternative? And my, in the end, solution, which has evolved a lot since then, was a really flexible, affordable situation where people could essentially buy. At that time, it was three levels. I've cut one of those now. But they can join and leave when they want. They get coaching, different amounts of coaching with me, depending on what they want, including some one-to-one time. And I said something like that to you. And then that captured the imagination.
Yeah, it did. So I played with it. And we launched in October last year. And the first thing we learned was that a lot of the things that we were doing weren't quite right and we needed to do them differently. And so it's a work in progress, which I like. And what it is you join the community, which is subscription. We've got 201 members.
It's amazing, yeah.
And there are different tiers depending on what's useful for you. So there's a free tier, which I still don't quite know what to do with the free tier, but Patreon, where it's hosted, put this free tier in. But you don't. But you've got to make the next tier different from the free tier. So the free tier don't get very much. But what we've just done is one of the things that became clear about three or four months ago was that people wanted the community to feel like a community. So we introduced the idea of a supervision community coffee, which is now called a supervision community cafe. You can see the learning all the time. So it's now called a supervision community cafe, and it meets once a month, and it alternates between being Asia-Pacific friendly, Asia-Pacific Europe friendly, and being Europe-North America's friendly. So we have two different time slots. And what that is whoever wants to in the community wants to rock up and just chat to other people comes along. And Alan, one of my colleagues, is a bit of a Zoom ninja. And we did something in lockdown where we reconstructed the coaching in, and we had Zoom, and we named the tables the table by the door, the noisy table by the bar, the chatty table. So I took what Alan said. So the first community coffee we had, instead of the Zoom rooms being 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they were the chatty table, the wondering table, the business building table, the let's see what happens table. And we've made it so people could, so it's like open space. So people choose the room they want to go in. And when they've had enough in that room, they can move on. So what we've done is we've made it almost as much like a real in-person coffee as we can. And we had one this week, and two people came, and one of them was brand new to the community, and somebody else had just arrived. And I just said, you two need to talk, because I think you've got loads that you'd love to hear from each other. And we've got some one-to-one tables. So I said, why don't you go to one-to-one table number one? Off they went. And when they came back 55 minutes later, they went, that was amazing. So one of the things that's done, I'm a bit off, I'll come back to answering your question specifically late in a minute, but one of the things that's done is that for me, my outside of work, my number one passion is welcome and hospitality. And I guess that's, I've only realised in the last 2 or 3 weeks that that's probably why the supervision community is so important to me, and also the coaches' walks. Because that's, I want people to have places where they feel welcome and where they feel, where it feels comfortable and hospitable and all those things. So the base layer of the community is that people come for coffee to the cafe. We open that to the free people 4 times a year. And then it's open to the paid members. So then you've got the bronze level. So the bronze level is the entry level. It's £10 a month plus tax. And in the bronze level, you get access to video content, which are things that have come up where I'll make a 2, 3, 4 minute video to share, which will help people do some thinking about stuff. So for example, the one that I'm doing next is about racism. So what do you do in a coaching conversation when the person that you're with shares very extreme something, and it's going to be about racism. So what I hope is that it's accessible stuff, short, so people remember it, which enables them to think about stuff on their own and gives them a little bit of food for thought for their self-reflection. So that's the bronze layer, and everybody gets access to all of those things. But then some people want live. Some people want me. So right at the beginning, what I did was I started a gold layer, which was the top layer, and the gold community were able to come once a month for 2 hours on a Friday, and they would be, I can't remember, 16 or 18 people, and then they could bring stuff 3 times a year, and it would act like a normal supervision group where 6 people bring something, but that would rotate. And the idea was that the silver and the bronze people would be able to drop in and have a listen. But then, because we started low, and you told me on the hills, you start with one person. A group is a group if one person comes to it. So we started quite small. And what became clear was that I didn't want an audience in that group, which is kind of what we'd planned. We'd planned that silver and bronze could come and listen in, and that silver could bring stuff of their own sometimes. And before it didn't work, I stopped it, because having a big group and making a big group is an art, and having a big group that has random visitors is a stupid thing. So that had to go. So Friday's gold is exclusive. It's just those people, and it's different people every month because people have a reason not to be able to come. And because it's affordable, if they're not able to come, they don't come. So that's gold. And then I had to start another group for the people that I'd promised face to face online, who I was telling I didn't want to come to the gold group anymore. So I started a silver group, and the silver group is bigger, and they get to bring their own stuff 2x a year. And I think there are 24 people in the silver group. And it's really interesting because the silver group took off better than any other group. They just found their way of sharing. So they go into little breakouts for a bit, and they work out what are the themes that are coming up for them. And then each breakout comes back and we choose some things. And somebody might have emailed ahead and said, I have a specific thing I want to bring. So what they're doing is they're getting monthly coaching, and they're listening to other people having supervision about things that they haven't experienced yet that they will experience. And if they get more work, they go up to gold. And if they get less work, they come down to silver. And the pre-existing groups that are exclusive, 6 people, 2 hours every month, they will become platinum. But one of the amazing things, which I hadn't really thought about, is that there are a few people who were in platinum who didn't really have enough to bring. And I was able to say to them, it feels to me as though platinum is too much. It's too expensive and it's not what you need. So why don't you move down to gold or silver? And somebody's just joined Silver and they said, this is how much work I've got at the moment. What I really like about this is that I can stay with you as my supervisor and I can slide up as and when I have more work. So that's the kind of structure. So Silver meet in a much bigger group on a Tuesday, Gold meet on a Friday, and then there are these 6 exclusive Platinum groups. Mm. And the people in the Platinum groups, which are more conventional supervision groups, all from now on, they will all come from people who are already in the community. And the benefit of that will be that when a new year starts for a platinum group, and perhaps there are different people in it, those people are already used to how I do supervision. And that will make a really big difference.
Yeah. Well, and so I, in hearing you speak, I remembered the thing that I'd forgotten about, you know, 10 minutes ago when we were speaking, which is there is this amazing thing about group learning for coaches, which I just always want to say as often as possible when coaches are listening, because I just think if you haven't clocked this, you're missing out, which is that learning in a group as a coach is just an incredibly fast way of learning, of like upgrading what you know and your confidence in dealing with difficult situations in coaching. Like, I'm very grateful that I started group supervision a little by accident, just because someone was, one of my colleagues from my coaching training was setting it up, I think. And it was with Katie Harvey, who's a mutual friend and maybe a supervision client of yours at one point. I don't know if that's public knowledge, but I think that's, well, I think that's been shared with me. I think we talked about it on my podcast, actually.
And I was her mentor.
Were you? Right. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, she's amazing. And what I learned from that group, I think there was five or six of us, it was exactly this kind of early, one of the lower tiers that you're talking about. We were all starting, but none of us were full time. You know, we all had kind of bits of work, different levels. But it meant that over, I can't remember what it was, 6 months, I'd heard so many different challenges that new coaches come across that I, much faster than I would have if it had been purely based on my personal experience. And that was, that is just a really powerful thing. And it's why these kinds of, you know, so my community is more based on, for listeners, my community is more based on growing a coaching business. It's like, it's such a shame to me that so many coaches, people leave coaching because the business of coaching is too much for them. And we don't want that or feels too hard. And it's just like, how do we just hold people a little bit so they can get off the ground in different ways? So it's the same thing. It's like, if you join those calls, you get through the 10 most common questions with great depth, even if you haven't faced them personally yet, in a much shorter time. So I wanted to say that really clearly. And if you want to bounce off that, please do. The other thing I wanted to reflect on is one of the things I notice about running a coaching program through something like Patreon, you know, with a set of tiers, is that people find it confusing. Now, I'm aware that that may be just the way that I set mine up, right? And so that I need to really own that. And one of the things, I wondered, A, if you found that, if people have found it hard to kind of grasp that they can just arrive and leave however they, whenever they want, and they can, and to know where to go. And I think one of the things, like which tier to go to, I think one of the things that you've done really nicely is make the tiers related to how much work someone's doing, because that makes it actually really easy for them to know, this is the place for me, and enables you to really guide them. And then when they don't know, to really trust you, to be able to say, okay, yeah, if you're not quite doing enough work to make this worthwhile, like pay me a bit less, get what you actually need. And if that changes, come back and pay me more, you know? So, there's some reflections, Claire, bounce off that however feels right.
Well, one of the reasons for recording this podcast, which now goes out on YouTube, since we got into our new Riverside studio, it's very now cool, on YouTube, yeah. Is that this is going to go into the welcome area of Patreon, so that you might have just signed up for the community, or you might be wondering about signing up for the community and you might want to know in detail. And hopefully this is going to give you exactly what you need to answer your questions. And if it doesn't, put your questions in the chat and we'll do another one.
Yeah, and make sure everyone that you subscribe on YouTube as well to the Coaching Inn. And so, like, let's just make that really clear then, because I think that I heard it in that you gave us a load of information about the supervision community there. But if someone's watching this and they are thinking about joining and they're not sure which tier to join, what's the answer to that question? Obviously, in general terms, you'll have to give it now. But which tier should I join?
Join bronze.
Okay. Yeah. Just start there and then feel your way in, right?
And on my list of think, look at my list.
That's great. Is it for people who are just listening? It's a post-it. Yeah.
On my list of things we're going to do now, we'll have a bronze Q&A every so often. We'll have a little live session for people in bronze to really answer those questions about what else is available. So if you don't know where to join bronze. If you're doing some coaching, join silver. If you're doing, you know, 20 hours a month, join gold. And if pretty much you're doing a lot of coaching and you've got a things I need to think about journal that has something written in it every day or even two or three times a week, then join Platinum.
Yeah,
and if you're coaching really all day, every day, I have got one or two one-to-one spaces, and there is a point at which one-to-one is better. But you asked about developments. The big development for next year is that when the Platinum groups join the community, they are all going to get a one-to-one technical check-in as part of their year's program. So they'll bring a video of them coaching and we'll look at it together and we'll notice where they can develop, whatever coaching tribe they're from, because the number one disadvantage of supervision is that it is entirely self-reported data. And I think supervision is the best thing, and it's self-reported data. So you don't know what you really do in the room. And I don't know what you really do in the room, because although I might have a bit of a sense of it from the way you show up in the supervision room, but the technical check-in will just be both of us watching a recording, noticing what's going really well and noticing one or two things that you could develop over the next year that's going to make a difference to the quality of your work.
Yeah, and the two things that come up there. So one is when we spoke on The Coach's Journey about The Human Behind the Coach, which is actually the book behind the human Claire Pedrick right now, as I'm looking at her on the video. You know, one of the things that really stood out for me about that book is that real invitation to mastery via watching videos of your coaching, right? Just it really reminded me. In fact, so the second phase I had of doing mentor coaching supervision with Katie, it was more mentor coaching, and we'll just get to this in a sec, I think, because I think this is a really important distinction that you're making, actually, or I'd like to hear your reflection on it. But it was because I've read about deliberate practice and realized that, like, what is deliberate practice for a coach, and what is more effective at taking us from deliberate practice. People who don't know, essentially, as I understand it, you know, it's the research that shows how do we get to mastery at something. And when I thought about what they'd drawn the conclusions, I read Bounce by Matthew Syed. It's a great, great book about that.
I love that book.
And it made me think, like, learning from what Syed's saying here, drawing from all the research and his great storytelling, what are the things I can do as a coach? And the answer came back pretty quickly. Go back to, like, what listening to other people, and listening to myself and watching myself and watching other people and reflecting on it as essentially the key move in becoming a more masterful coach. And the human behind the coach really emphasized that for me. So I wanted to kind of say that as part of this. I think it's really important. And then let's make the distinction, because I think you're making it that in supervision with you, what doesn't happen is either the watching of videos or live coaching and reflection, right? Is that right? So on the supervision calls, what are the, like, make that distinction. And then maybe if you want, why is that an important, why isn't that included in this until next year?
Because I haven't thought about it till somebody said, had you thought about this?
Yeah.
So for me, supervision is a place to explore what's going on in you and what's going on in the space between us, and how could you do differently when these things happen in the work that we're doing? And even when somebody brings a case, so I'm working with so-and-so and it's like this, I don't want too much information about the person, because otherwise the person has self-reported to the coach. The coach is now reporting to me what the person self-reported to the coach. So there's a lot of skewy data there. So we do that, but we do it lightly. And it's not about the person, unless there's unless there's an acute ethical question. It's always about what's happening in the space between the coach and the thinker. So that's supervision. And mentor coaching is the technical thing about what are you actually doing? What does it look like? More significantly for me, what does it sound like? So for me, there's a whole thing about flow, and does the coach facilitate the thinker to think? Or does the coach ask the the thinker to answer the questions that they're asking. I'm glad you like that, because that was an insight and I've never said it like that before, and that I like that approval there.
glad to hear it. We can clip that, or you can write it down and put it in the next book. Claire, like, this is a slight this is like looping back to something we talked about, you touched on before, but it's something I wanted to ask about, because yesterday actually I got an email from somebody who's thinking about joining my community, and really he was asking like, he said something like, the communities that I've been part of that I've really loved have always included some kind of, I mean, he didn't, I don't think he used this term, but asynchronous communication. There's been a Discord channel or a Slack channel or a WhatsApp group. And we don't have an official one as part of the Coach's Journey, because I hadn't got to it. I had it as an idea. And I thought, maybe we'll do it one day. But first, let's get this thing out. Let's see what happens. And that's kind of how I try and work. Let's run the experiment, just like you've talked about. And before I got to it, the members had already set up their own WhatsApp group. And I realized I didn't really want to be in it anyway, because I don't have a team behind me, really. And it would be a lot to be in it for me and my well-being and energy. But it sounds like that kind of space does exist for you. And how do you facilitate that? And what is it? Where do you host it? Is it on Patreon or somewhere else? And what does it look like?
So Patreon took forever to get conversations onto computers off phones. And until they did that, I wasn't willing to do anything. So how it works, and I think this is kind of okay and moderated, is that I have a chat stream where people can drop in a question that they want to open up to the community.
On Patreon.
And then I post, on Patreon. And then I post it as a post, and then everyone can join in the conversation. Mm. But Claire's list of things she's going to do as a result of this conversation.
Yep.
I'm going to start a thread that's like a clinic chat.
Yeah.
And that will be an interesting piece.
Yeah.
We're also bringing in another supervisor. So some of the work that 3D Coaching does is in the church, and I was in conversation yesterday with a supervisor who specifically works with people in the church. So we're going to have a tier for them, and she's going to host it.
So this brings us back to that question about scaling you, which I was thinking about before this, really. Because when we spoke, again, on one of the, maybe the first time when we got into your story on the Coach's Journey, one of the things you talked about was naming the company 3D Coaching. And there were lots of reasons to do that. But one of them you talked about, which I've thought about quite a lot since then, is it enables the business to go on without you at some point if it needs to. I know you've thought about that in terms of leadership in the company. But I wonder, and in this conversation, and this is natural because of who you are and the thinking you've done, right? There is thought leadership that comes from you. Partly because I'm thinking about this a little bit as well, although the scale of numbers in my community is tiny compared to yours, what do you think about other people coming in? How much are people here really because of you and your thought leadership? And how do you think about that?
So two of the platinum groups I co-host with another supervisor, and that will continue. So we do alternate ones. And I'm going to do a bit of an exit survey when they get to the end of their year. But what I notice when it's my week, my month, is quite how beautifully they've learnt to be a group. And so there are two of them. So that becomes a scientific experiment, right? Because it's more than one. So those two groups are differently a group than the groups that I run on my own. And I think that they're best. I think there's a benefit. So we're going to carry that on. So that means I can do twice as many because I've got somebody who's doing half of them. There will be some that are just me, but there will be some that are mixed. But really interestingly, when I had this conversation with this supervisor yesterday, I said to them, we'll do this only if we have a succession plan. So who will it be after you? Because if we don't know that, we can't do it. Or we can say, for 1 year only we're doing this, or for 2 years we're doing this, or for 5 years we're doing this. But we can't, because I would like my supervision community So it's Claire's 3D supervision community. I'd like it to become somebody else's 3D supervision community over time. You know, it's the last thing that I'll give up, and I have no intention of giving up at all at the moment. But yeah, it's interesting.
I think it's a really interesting thing because I think that, you know, and especially the age we're in, we don't really know it yet. We're experimenting at the Coach's Journey with new hosts for the podcast, team of hosts now, because it's like, how does a thing that's been built as a creative endeavor by one human, like, grow beyond the capacity of that human? And there aren't that many. I think it's a place of innovation. There aren't many models for it where it's worked. So it's great to hear a bit about how you're thinking about it. We have to be really careful. I have to be really careful hosting this conversation because my podcast episodes are often 2 hours long, and that doesn't work on this. That's not what people are expecting from this show. So we're coming right to the end of our time, Claire. Is there anything that we haven't talked about the community or in this conversation that you want to catch before we wrap up?
I think what I want to say is it's gone beyond my wildest dreams. You know, it was an idea that morphed in conversation with people where we weren't quite giving them what they needed or they couldn't afford what they wanted. And then in conversation with you and with others, it's morphed and I love that people go, could we do this? And I go, yeah, let's do that. I mean, it's amazing. And I spoke to somebody yesterday and they said, I'm looking for a community of like-minded people. And I said, join our supervision community. But the thing that I like about it and the lesson that I have learned from somebody else is that it has to feel, however big it gets, it has to feel personal. And on the day that I host a coffee and two people come in and I can't say, you two need to talk because I think you've got something in common, it's too big.
Lovely. And there's that hospitality and welcome thread coming through
again. Because, well, it has to be, for me, it has to be human. Oh, the other bit is I read bits of my book.
What, in the community?
Yeah, and put a little video of a bit, but then I add the bit that I've just learned that isn't in the book.
Yeah, lovely. Very lovely. That's an extra little thing to drag people in. Claire, I love it. So you usually ask at the end of a conversation like this, like, where can people, how do people contact you? And I guess in some ways you know this, but like, and it sounds like, the moves are, if you're excited about this, just sign up, right? You can sign up at the free level, join at the bronze level was your first instruction. And also that there are places to ask questions via Patreon or via 3D coaching. Is there anything more you want to say about that?
Just go to patreon.com/ClairePedrick.
Love it.
And if you've got questions, Claire@3dcoaching.com. And that is my email address and I answer.
I love it.
Because that's human.
Absolutely. And really nice. And I think people still don't kind of expect it. So it's really lovely because we've got used to impersonal emails to companies, haven't we? Claire, one of the things I just wanted to say before we finish is, like, one of the things I loved about seeing this is how quickly you took an idea. Once it had reached the level of here's the idea that I'm going to pursue, and pursued it. And like, I'm not surprised you're saying it's gone beyond the wildest dreams. And I know, I'm sure that not every experiment that you runs like this, but it's amazing to see this thing become something that so many people, including coaches that I know and care about, just love and get so much from. So it's amazing stuff. And people are so lucky to have it here to support them.
Thank you. And I think you've got to hold things lightly. And I think having an idea and making it go live quickly makes my team really fancy. But I think if you're not too attached to it, you can drop things when they don't work. So you can go, no, we're not going to do that anymore because that isn't what we need.
Yeah.
So it just needs to be good enough. And we can work it out. And the videos are not professionally edited because one of the things that's really important to me is that you see me click go on my phone.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because it's, again, it's
slightly professional because I have a gimbal.
Oh, look at that. On video, if you want to go on,
everyone needs a gimbal.
Go onto the YouTube channel to see what a gimbal is. Love it. Claire, I've let us run over our time, so because I can't help it, because I have a problem with endings, psychological problem with endings. But it's been such a pleasure to host this show. And yeah, people know where to find the community. They know where to find you. If people want to find me, they can find me at thecoachesjourney.com, amongst other places. And yeah, I hope everybody joins you again on the Coaching Inn sometime soon. And I hope I do too.
I hope so. Thank you, Robbie.
If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, we'd love you to share the podcast with a friend or leave a comment on social media. And if you'd like to become a regular at The Coaching Inn, you can subscribe on Podbean and all major podcast channels. We look forward to welcoming you next time. You've been listening to The Coaching Inn, 3D Coaching's virtual pub. For more information, check out 3dcoaching.com.